Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this another opportunity to minister to these, your sheep. Thank you that revelation knowledge flows freely, unhindered, uninterrupted by any satanic force whatsoever. Less of me, Father, more of you. None of me, Holy Spirit, and all of you. All of you, Holy Spirit. I believe by faith that you will think through my mind and speak through my lips. And when it's all said and done, we'll give you and only you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. Thank you, Lord, for confirming your word with signs following. Thank you, Lord, for hastening your word to perform it. Thank you, Lord, for that your word will not return to you void, but it will accomplish that which you please. It will prosper where it has been sent. Thank you, Lord, for covering us throughout the year 2024. Lord, we say thank you. Come on, say it with me. Lord, thank you. We thank you. And so, Father, we thank you for this three-night meeting that we're going to receive a word from you, an empowerment from you, an impartation to be caught from you that will position us for the unusual in 2025. It will position us for the unprecedented in 2025. It will position us for the unexpected in 2025, and it will position us for the unfathomable in 2025. Lord, all we have is you. And if you don't do it, it can't be done. So we trust you. We thank you for the confirmation and demonstration in Jesus' name. And all God's people say amen. All right. Come on, open your Bibles with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. As I mentioned earlier, when I'm seeking the Lord about what he wants me to share at the end of the year meeting, and what he wants done, how he's moving. I always ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to me what Jesus wants me to know for this season in my life. Reveal to me what Jesus wants me to do right now. Reveal to me where Jesus wants me to go and how Jesus wants me to follow him. I said, Holy Spirit, I need your help. Open my eyes to see, open my heart to receive, open my ears to hear what you're saying so that I can be in alignment with what Jesus is doing, what he's causing, and where he wants his body to be and what he wants his body to do. And so it was around, I believe, the end of October, around the early part of November, I was given this passage of scripture, and this will be our launching pad scripture for each night in this three-night meeting. We'll read the passage, and then I'll give you my title. Glory to God. And so it's John chapter 14, verses 21 through 24. Of course, you know I'm reading from the King James Bible. You follow along in whatever translation you have. Verse 21, it says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Now, if you have a regular Bible that you could underline or highlight, underline that part. Of course, if you have your device, go ahead and highlight that verse, verse 21. He that hath my commandments, or have my word, and keepeth them, or keep my word. Jesus, who never lies, says, he or she, it is that loveth me. And then he went on to say, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Now that's a good question. He's asking, how are we going to be able to get a manifestation from you, Jesus, and the world don't get a manifestation? And Jesus answers this brother's question in verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me. Now wait a minute, because every church we go to, every church we've been in, everybody in the church say they love Jesus. They say they love God. Everybody. You worship and fellowship with some people today, this morning, and all of them believe they love God. But look what he said. Because see, if loving God was so abstract, or let me say absolute, then he wouldn't have to put the condition of the word if. Look what he says. If a man love me, here's the qualifier of that love, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That's what's going to cause the manifestation. Look at verse 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. So the qualifier of someone who's not in love with Jesus is they don't keep the words of Jesus when they're navigating through life. They do what they want to do, when they want to do it, and how they want it done. They hold on to what they think they know, what they believe, that, or what they understand, and how they see life. They choose to keep control over their lives and not realizing, as a Christian, the way you demonstrate and exhibit that you love Jesus is by keeping his words and allowing his words to govern your next move. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear, watch this, is not mine. Jesus says, I didn't make this up. He said, it's the Father's words which sent me. So God gave me this passage of scripture to say it's going to be important in the coming new year. Now, and then he gave me this word. Watch this. He gave me the word, stay connected. Stay connected. Now, that's not my title. Here's the title for the three-night meeting. Be firm in faith. Be firm in faith. Wow. Be firm in faith. And the only way that you're going to become firmer or be firm in faith is you're going to have to learn how to stay connected regardless of how you feel. Stay connected regardless of what you see. Stay connected regardless of what goes on that you don't like. Stay connected regardless of distasteful moments in life. Stay connected regardless of what's going on around you. Stay connected regardless of what you think you understand. You're going to have to stay connected. So he says, be firm in faith. I was talking to one of our daughters. We were all in a car together, her and Shirley and myself. And I asked her this question, and I want to pose the same question to you. I asked her, this year in 2024, why wasn't you firmer in your faith? I asked her, why wasn't you firmer in your faith? And so she paused, and then she started telling us, or speaking out loud in the car, as to why she wasn't firm, because of how she saw herself, how she felt, what she was experiencing and going through. And then I said this to her. I said, what does that have to do with anything? And so I asked her this. I said, do you believe that your mother and father loves you? She said, yeah, I believe that. I know that. I said, do you believe that we love you because you do the good, or you do good all the time and you do what's right? She said, well, no, I know you still love me. I said, and do you believe that we love you and we do for you because of you and not because of what you do? And she paused. And she said, Dad, I see where you're going with this. I see it. I see it. I said, yeah. I said, all that God has done for you and your family, and you still have allowed this year certain situations and circumstances to cause you to question God, cause you not to trust God as much. And I want to know why. Why you couldn't become, why couldn't you be firm in your faith? So that's my question to you. This year, why weren't you firmer in your faith with all that God has taught you, with all that you've already experienced in God, with all, look at where God has brought you from. Look at what God, where God has brought your family from. Look at what God has done in your family. Look how many times God healed your body. Look at how many times God delivered you. Look how many times God provided for you. Look at all the times you experienced the miraculous from the hand of God, and it wasn't because your faith was so strong, and you know it. So this year, why couldn't you be firmer in your faith? I asked a group this past Saturday, we were in Canada, and I asked a group that we were with. I asked them, what was the biggest challenge that you faced or experienced this year? And before I could continue, we got interrupted. All of them answered. And my next question to them was going to be, in the midst of that challenge, even though it happened, why wasn't you more firmer in your faith? And you know how faithful God is to you. And I would have loved to hear some of the response, because some of the responses were being, I saw myself responding different. I'm sure I would have got a response like that. I saw myself acting different. I saw myself not allowing myself to get down or get discouraged. But then there would also have been some in the room who would have said, I should have did a better job of being firmer in my faith, regardless of what I experienced. I should have did a better job of being firmer in my faith, regardless of how I felt. I should have did a better job of being firmer in my faith, regardless of what I saw myself go through, and I didn't want to go through that, and I didn't understand why I was going through that, but I went through it, and I thought it was unfair. I should have did a better job. So here's my question. Why wasn't you firmer in your faith this year? Out of all God has done for you, I saw myself this year with Cheryl battling the physical attack that she went through, and it wasn't just this year. It's actually part of the year before coming into this year, and so it was a good 15 months, and then I say 18 months because the first 3 months of that process and journey, she had to go to Texas because her mother had a double bypass surgery, and so she was gone for about 2 months. That was hard for me. It was hard for her. That was challenging. But in the midst of it all, I saw God bringing firmness to my faith. So when she got back and the physical attack started, the first week she got back from Texas, and then it went on for 15 months. Two surgical procedures, one major surgery. And then in the recovery, shingles, because of the medication causing her immune system to become so weak. So shingles become activated in her body. And for 15 months, now listen, I was ready. I was ready. I was ready to be a voice of faith for her, a voice of healing for her, a voice of comfort for her. I was ready to be that caretaker that she needed. And I knew that it wasn't in myself. I knew God had a hand in this because this was not Mark Roberson. I knew he was doing some things to the point of how I was serving her and comforting her and denying myself for 15 straight months. And her victory was my chief joy. And God gave me this. He says, Mark, in 2025, my children are going to have to become firmer in their faith. Let's look at the word firm. Firm. Come on, everybody say firm right where you are. Firm, firm. Firm is having a solid, almost unyielding surface or structure. That's when you have a firm structure. So just to give you a picture of what firm is, and I know you know it because you know that something is firm, that means it's not soft. Something that is firm is not weak. But let's look at this even more. Firm means to make something physically solid, watch this, or resilient. That's what he did for me during Cheryl's 15-month long process. He made me resilient. It was because I wasn't so good. He did that. See, when a person is firm in their faith, it means that, watch this, they are not going to change their mind or change their belief no matter what happens or what goes on. Jesus, I give you praise. When a person is firm in their faith, it means that they are not going to change their mind or change their belief no matter what happens to them or no matter what goes on around them or upon them, whatever the case may be. See, dear hearts, by being firm in their faith, they're saying that they are in control of themselves to continue believing what they started out believing and not giving in to self-pity, not giving in to discouragement, not giving in to sorrow or grief, not giving in to a low self-image, not giving in to, are y'all listening to me? Not giving in to any negative emotion or thought. They're firm. Put this down in your notes. Somebody, as my scribe tonight, put this, to be firm is to be strong and unwavering. To be firm is to be strong and unwavering. And a lot of you this year have faced some things that were challenging to you emotionally because of the weight of what you were facing, the weight, the burden of what you had to go through and endure. And God wants you to know He's firming you up. He's strengthening you so that He's hardening you to difficulties and challenges. Some of you have asked the question, why did I have to go through this? Why me? Why did this happen to me? And I thought I did everything right to prevent this from taking place, and it still happened to me. He's firming you up. He's firming your trust in Him, that you trust Him and not what you think you need. You trust Him and not what you feel like has to happen in order to make your life work, order to make your life happy. Are you listening to me? To be firm is to be strong and unwavering. To be firm is to not be weak or not be, watch this word, uncertain. Tonight, I'm coming after all the times this year you felt uncertain. Why did you give in to the uncertainties in life when you know that your salvation is secure in Jesus? Why did you allow a situation or a circumstance to cause you to have uncertainties about how you were going to come out of that, how it was going to be solved, and you know that God loves you too much to let you fail? Your faith is becoming firmer to handle distasteful moments in the name of Jesus. To be firm is not to be weak. It's not to be uncertain. Watch this. To be firm is to not be easily moved by, or to not be disturbed by. There were times in that 15-month period where Cheryl, where she would just cry. She cried out. And I went to her and I said, "You cry all you want. It's fine. I'm here. Because your faith is still working." And I kept commending her for her faith stand. I says, "I'm amazed at how you're still believing God in spite of the excruciating pain that you're feeling." I says, "You're doing it, girl." I said, "I'm amazed at your faith." I said, "I know a lot of times that you always thought that my faith is way higher than yours." I said, "But I'm commending you for your faith stance." And I said, "Don't think that just because you're crying, you're not in faith right now. Just because you're wanting the pain to leave you doesn't mean you're not in faith now. You stay hooked up to God and we're going to do it together." And I said, the times when you feel like your faith is weak, the times when it feels like you don't want to believe anymore, that's when you lean into my faith. Lean on my faith and know I got you, girl. We're going to believe God together. I said, I want you to know you're not by yourself. It was 15 months of that because I wanted her to know that I wasn't going to allow her to become easily moved or disturbed by the prolonged challenge of this physical attack. It was attack after attack after attack. And I wasn't going to allow that to dictate to her about her faith. Everyone say, "I must become firm in my faith." See, to be firm, put this in your notes, is to be steadfast. Steadfast. You've settled it. You're one scripture says, be steadfast, immovable. You're immovable. You can't be moved from your position and your place of believing, no matter what has happened to you, no matter what anybody is saying. Can you still love a person in spite of their ugliness? No. I'm talking about genuinely love the person and want to favor them in spite of their ugliness to you. You have to become firm in faith because Galatians 5:6 says faith worketh by love. Come on, somebody. Recently, when I was talking about this three-night meeting, I heard the word impetus in my spirit. I was up before the congregation. It was last Sunday. And I was just talking about the three-night meeting and looking forward to it. And it was like God had an angel beside me whispering the word impetus. Impetus. I-M-P-E-T-U-S. And I kept rolling it over in my mind before I said it out loud to the congregation. And then I even hesitated when I said it, because for whatever reason, I wasn't sure if I was pronouncing the word right, and I wasn't sure about the spelling in my mind. And I didn't know if I was really hearing right. And I told them out loud, I said, I'm hearing the word, and they corrected me on the pronunciation, and I'm hearing the word impetus in my spirit. And that was last Sunday. And I believe that God is saying that this year's end of the year meeting, he's going to use it as an impetus for the year 2025 and beyond in your life. Glory to God. Well, you got to know what the word impetus means. The word impetus means the force or energy with which a body moves. Are you getting this? There's movement in impetus. There's a force in impetus. See, impetus is the force that makes something happen. God is saying this year's three-night meeting will be an impetus in your life for the year 2025 and beyond. It will become a force that makes something happen for you that you never knew how to bring about, to cause and happen for you. But because you're sitting in this three-night meeting, something is going to get on you and something will be imparted into you that will cause something to happen. Intimacy also is the force that makes something happen or makes something happen more quickly. Jesus, I give you praise. Glory to God. When you look at impetus, which it comes from the Latin word, a Latin verb rather, in combination with the prefix, which means that Latin verb, which means to attack. So the word impetus has this attack component attached to it, but then it also has this forward thrust, this taking you towards something movement along with it. This is not no happenstance. You're not going to stumble onto something. You're going to be driven. Glory to God. So I put it like this, and I even put it in the email to you all. A simple definition of the word impetus would be the kind of force that encourages an action or encourages the momentum of an action that's already begun. What God was able to get you to start in 2024, but you did not see the full return on it, the full return on your investment, the full compensation from your faith effort. Glory to God. He's causing this meeting to be the impetus that will take you into the place of receiving your full return. Lift your hands and give God some praise for that. Glory to God. I believe that God is going to cause you to move toward some things in 2025 with an attacking force that you didn't come close to in 2024. And so I've been stating, I said it this morning to the group, I said it last week, and I want to say it tonight. I believe the year 2025 is going to be a different year for you. I've already shared. I have this sneaky suspicion of some unusual things taking place. Are you listening to me? And then I also heard three words for 2025, and it's the word alignment, adjustment, and accuracy. Alignment, adjustment, and accuracy. God is aligning some things, and he also wants you to hear this phrase. You ready? Let it ride. I came into December, and he spoke that in my prayer time. Mark, let it ride. Let it ride. So I kept saying it over and over, let it ride. And then I understood, you know, when people who are let me use this illustration, and if you just follow me, you'll be able to see it. This is not a biblical illustration, but just go with me. When people are gambling and they're at the casino and they're placing their bets or whatever, placing and they're winning. And then the one who's in charge wants to give them their winnings, and they say, let it ride. I believe that God is saying, let the manifestations ride. In other words, what was supposed to take place in 2024, but it didn't take place for whatever reason, will ride in 2025. Glory to God. It will ride in 2025. Put it down, mark it. It will ride in 2025. There will be an upside. There will be an upgrade. There will be a turning. There will be a yearning from you. There will be a burning in you. Let it ride. Child of God, what you thought you were held out of, what you thought you were held out from, what you thought you were held out to, God is adjusting that line of thought within you, and he is aligning your way of thinking with his way of doing. Come on, put it in your notes. God is aligning my way of thinking with his way of doing. God is aligning my way of thinking with his way of doing. And that's why I said to you that God says that he's going to cause to happen for you the unusual, the unprecedented, the unexpected, and the unfathomable. And so it will be said, it will be so, and it will be said that this is the Lord's doing. And he is demonstrating that his child, that's you, is being led. You're being led by him. And he's going to do this thing. So let's look at this. Let's dive off into this. When we talk about alignment, we're talking about being in position. And the purpose of this positioning is so that you can have a proper performance. Put this down in your notes. Correct positioning causes proper performance. Correct positioning causes proper performance. Correct positioning causes proper performance. I'm hearing something in my spirit right now. The Lord wants us to know this year, I'm going to say we did a lot of things in our own strength, and God didn't tell us to do it. And it had an effect on our bodies. It had an effect on us mentally, and it had an effect on us emotionally. We did a lot of things in our own strength. We felt obligated to do it. We felt like, well, if I don't do it, nobody else will. We felt like we had to do it. And God says, because of that, you didn't cast your care upon him, it caused you to endure heaviness and the consequences of that physical heaviness, mental heaviness, emotional heaviness. It caused you to experience that. And God says, I never wanted that for you, my child. And so now I'm going to cause this alignment to take place, which will cause a correct positioning, and in this positioning, watch this, I am going to relieve you from that which has been burdening you. Come on, somebody. Jesus, I give you praise. I'm going to relieve you of that which was burdening you. Yeah, we caused the burden to be on us. We took that ownership of the situation. We took that. We did. Not just you, all of us. Are you listening to me? And anytime we act like we're God to ourselves, unto ourselves, God says, you're preventing me from assisting you like I want to. And so it causes things to happen to us that we got to use our faith to overcome and get out of. When you're operating, or in other words, living in this divine alignment, you'll have, watch this, divine support. Glory to God. So I say in Jesus' name that divine alignment will cause you to have more divine support in the coming new year than you've ever experienced before. God is going to teach some of you how to live in ease and not from the place of burden. Jesus. Walking in faith that's firm. When you're choosing to be firm in faith, causes you to have supernatural help. Oh, glory to God. Let's look at something. Go with me to Genesis chapter 15. See, Abraham, well, his name hadn't changed at this particular time, but he felt like that God wasn't answering his prayer. Look at Genesis 15, verse 1. You there? I'm going to read this passage from the New King James Version. Genesis 15, verse 1, and it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. When you take ownership of things that's happening in your life, that means that you're not releasing faith in God as your shield. Look what it says. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Look at verse 2. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. That was one of his servants who was born in his house. He said, this is the only heir I got. Now, here's what I want you to see from this that God wanted to point out. Look at verse 1 again. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, and now I'm talking to you. Okay, I know this is what God said to Abram, but now he's talking to you. Do not be afraid. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. Can you become firm in faith over that tonight? Because when you're not firm in faith, look at verse 2 again. Look what Abram said. The Bible says, but Abram. So God said something, but Abram ignored what God said. Have you been ignoring what God said to you in 2024, even though you didn't see what you wanted to see? That didn't change what God said. Listen, what you see doesn't change what God said to you, but what God said to you will change what you see if you stay firm in faith concerning it. Verse 2, but Abraham said, he totally dismissed what God said to him. He ignored it. Look what it says. Lord God, what will you give me seeing I go childless? God didn't see Abram childless, but Abram tried to bring God down to what he saw. Have you been doing that this year? Have you been praying to God about your problem, about your situation, and you wanted God to see what you saw instead of you going up to see things from God's perspective? Have you been allowing your stubbornness to hold on to what you've been seeing to dictate to your faith? You have to become firmer in faith. Look what it says. Lord God, what will you give me seeing I go childless? And the only heir in my house is this servant, Eliezer of Damascus, who was born in my house. And then Abram kept on talking because he thought he was right. I know you've done that too. I've done it too. When I'm pointing out to God what didn't happen to me, I start talking before he can get a word in. I'm letting him know. I'm talking to him. I call it praying. You do too. And I'm praying to him. And I want him to understand. I'm explaining this thing to him because I want him to know everything in detail, in description, in definition. And I want him to know what's not happening. And here's Abram. Look at verse 3. Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Have you done that? Have you done that this year? Brought to God what you thought he hadn't done because you didn't see it? You didn't see the change you wanted to see. You didn't feel different. You didn't experience anything different. You didn't handle anything different. You didn't come into anything different. So you thought God wasn't moving because of what you saw, even though you know the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Why couldn't you become firmer in faith this year? Who am I talking to out there besides myself? Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. He kept holding up what he saw. And the only birth in his house that he saw was the slave, the slave who gave birth to Eliezer. So he was a servant. He didn't see God's word come to pass. Now, dear hearts, let me just dive off into this right now. When you're being firm in faith, you don't bring to God what your natural eyes are telling you. You bring to God what your spiritual eyes have caught from his spirit. You're reminding God of his word, and you're holding on to it. Remember, we looked at the definition of what firm is, and one of the definitions of firm, watch this, is to be strong and unwavering. And to be firm means to not be weak, watch this, and not be uncertain. To be firm is to not be easily moved and to not be disturbed. To be firm is to be steadfast. And so I shared with you already that when a person is firm in their faith, it means that they are not going to change their mind or change their belief, no matter what happens to them or what goes on around them. Glory to God. And by being firm in their faith, they're saying that they are in control of themselves to continue believing what they started out believing, and they won't let it go. My God in heaven. See, dear hearts, Abram locked into what he saw naturally, and it affected his faith spiritually. Listen, and he thought he was right to bring it to God. He thought he was right to tell God what wasn't working right in his life. He thought he was right to point out to God what God, he thought, hadn't done for him yet. He thought he was right. Have you been at that place this year? Did you allow your circumstances to talk you out of the purity of your faith? Did you allow what you were experiencing, what you were encountering, to affect you and how you was believing God? Did you allow what people said or did to move you more than what God said or did to you this year? Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me seeing I go childless? Wait a minute. He's trying to bring God down to what he sees, and he still wants God to give him something. Aren't we like that at times? And so that's why I taught you this before, that one of my prayers is, and I pray this consistently and faithfully, I say, God, I don't want my description of things. I want your description. Lord, I don't want my definition of things. I want your definition. Help me to move past my description. Lord, strengthen me and help me to not use my words to describe what I'm going through, but to use my words to change what I'm going through. That's a prayer of mine. And I'm not perfect, but man, I'm reaching. I'm pushing. And I'm becoming stronger. And I'm stronger now than I've ever been. And I plan to be stronger in 2025 than I've ever been before. Are you listening to me? Lord God, what will you give me seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Abram made that his truth. So since he made that his truth, it was true to him, and he thought he was right by bringing it up before God. And watch it. What Abraham thought was his truth, it was a lie against God's truth. You're not allowing a lie to God's truth to govern your life, are you? You're not allowing something that is a heavenly lie because God didn't say it for you. You're not allowing that to move you and affect you emotionally and mentally, are you? You're not allowing something that is a heavenly lie to control your next move and your next response, are you? You're not allowing what's a heavenly lie to shape your expectation for your life, are you? Be firm in faith and move out of that place. Lord God, what will you give me seeing I go childless? And then verse 3, Abram said, look. See, he's trying to get God to see. And sometimes, and I'm talking to you tonight, and this is not an indictment because we've all been there. We called ourselves praying. And we tried to use our prayers to pray God's will over our situation, but you gave in to your emotions. You gave in to how you was feeling. Yeah, I'm talking to you. You gave in to how you was feeling because your feelings were more real than the word you said you believed. You didn't allow that word to become a light in your heart. Psalms 119, 130. The entrance of his word giveth light. You didn't allow that word that you say you would believe it. You didn't stay with that word and meditate on that word and decree that word and confess that word until it became light to, watch this, to overwhelm the darkness of the situation to where all you see is that word. So now you brought up to God the darkness you saw instead of the light he was revealing. Who am I talking to out there? Jesus, I give you praise. Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. This is God he's talking to. We all have been there. Man, we've said some things to God. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. And look at verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Verse 5. You see verse 5? See, I like it from the New King James Version because it says this. Listen to it from the New King James, from verse 5. I hope you're looking at it from the New King James so you can follow with me. Look what it says. It says, then he, God, brought him outside. Stop. What did God do? God changed his position so he could change what Abram was seeing. Glory to God. And that's what he's going to do in this three-night meeting for you. He's going to change. Somebody needs to say, change my position, Lord. Change my position. He brought him outside. He changed his position and said, look. See, Abram tried to get God to see what he saw. God changed Abram's position and now said, Abram, I want you to look and see what I see. Jesus, I give you praise. He said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, God said to Abram, so shall your descendants be. He brought him outside and told him, now, once you've changed your position, now it's time to see different. It's time to see different. And God did not change his word to Abram. In spite of Abram trying to bring God down to what he was going through, tried to bring God down to what he saw, tried to bring God down to his description of the situation and how he, Abram, defined the situation. God wasn't moved by that, and he's not going to be moved by you. Now, listen to me. Last year, a year ago, we had the word from God, no more toil and toleration, expect multiplication. And some of you who are watching me tonight and listening to me, you still went through part of this year toiling. And God told you, I don't want you to do that. You dismissed what God said to you a year ago. He said, no more toil, and he says, no more toleration. He informed us last year not to be in toleration because he wanted us to be in expectation. When you're in expectation, you have moved out of the position of toleration. And some of you under the sound of my voice and who are watching me tonight, you still came through this year. It wasn't all the time, but there were still some times you tolerated stuff. You put up with it. You wasn't firm in your authority. You wasn't firm in your faith. You wasn't firm in your consistency. You allowed what was happening to you to define the mood for you. You allowed what was happening to you. You allowed what you experienced to shape how you was going to respond. And even though God says, I don't want you toiling, and I don't want you tolerating, I want you expecting, and he told us to expect multiplication. Now the question is, to what degree this year did you respond to that fully? Did you guard your heart? Did you guard your mind? Did you guard your thoughts? Did you guard your mouth? And not talk the problem? Did you prevent yourself from complaining this year? Because you had a word from God that was going to thrust you into a place you had never seen before. Why did you give in when God gave you a word before your storm took place in 2024? And now God is saying, this coming new year, I want you to be firm in faith. See, to be firm in faith is going to cause you to be in divine alignment with God's will for your life. It's going to cause you to make proper adjustments, and it's going to cause you to move through situations and circumstances with more spiritual accuracy. Somebody say, I must stay connected. I must stay connected. I must stay connected. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I need to end it. There's my clock. All right. God told Abram, come outside with me. When he got him out of his old position, you know what God did? God changed Abram's posture about his life. And he changed Abram's position in his life so that Abram could now look and receive God's performance for his life. Come on, somebody. Now, I'm going to say that again for you. God changed Abram's posture and changed Abram's position. So he could change what Abraham was looking at, and so Abram could receive God's performance. Look now toward heaven, God said, and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And look at verse 6. And the Bible says, once Abram changed, the Bible says, and Abram believed in the Lord. And now God accounted it to Abram for righteousness. Tonight, my brothers and sisters, God is expanding our capacity to cause divine alignment. God says, you will learn the power of being seated with me in alignment. That your posture now will be, instead of your posture being based upon what you see, how you feel, what you think, your posture will all be about being seated with me in divine alignment. And so when you're in this place of alignment, you got to keep your mouth in alignment. You have to keep your heart in alignment. Because, listen to your hearts, faith is the way that we get things done. Faith is the way we get things moving. Faith is the way that we get things and cause things to happen. And you all have heard me share this countless numbers of times. You are not a natural being having a spiritual experience. You are a spiritual being causing natural experiences. You got to believe that. Come on, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone on this faith call tonight. Hallelujah. I want you to do this. Do this as a prophetic faith act. Can you put your right hand on your heart, you know, on your chest. Put your right hand there. And that will be symbolic of me laying my hands on you in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray. And I come against that which has caused your people to knock them out of position of what you want to do for them. I come against that which has tried to convince them that what they saw was more real than what you said. I come against that which had overwhelmed them emotionally, overwhelmed them mentally, overwhelmed them physically, overwhelmed them circumstantially. And it caused them to lose sight of what you said to them about what you wanted to do for them. In the name of Jesus, I uproot this thing, whatever it is. It could be a feeling. It could be a stubbornness. It can be a pride. It could be a seed of disobedience. It could be a seed of disillusionment. It can be a seed of deception. Whatever is in them that has caused them not to stay connected to what you said to them. Because you said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he and she are the ones who love me. I decree and declare in Jesus' name, fresh love, fresh commitment, fresh conviction to come upon us all in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, pull the scales from our eyes. Remove the hardness from our hearts. Remove the gross and the dross and the wax from our spiritual hearing. Remove that which has been blinding us from seeing accurately spiritually. That's been preventing us from hearing accurately spiritually. That's been preventing us from receiving accurately spiritually. In the name of Jesus, I say now, Lord, that you're purging that which has been hindering us. Thank you for opening our eyes to see how we were operating this year. Thank you for even as they were listening, as each one of us was listening, You took us back to several experiences this year in how we operated and how we acted. And we thought about our responses and we saw ourselves. Father, we're not arguing with you tonight. We yield to you tonight. Come on, say this right where you are. Say, Lord, have your own way in my life. Lord, have your own way in my life. Come on, say this. Say, Lord, I'm not resisting you. I yield to you. Have your own way in my life. In the name of Jesus. Now do it, Lord. I thank you, Daddy, for answering our prayer. And as we humble ourselves under your mighty hand this first night, we're trusting you to exalt us in due season as you see fit. We trust you to handle situations that seem to have gotten the best of us thus far this year. But this year isn't over. Father, give us a testimony at the end of this year that will surprise us. In Jesus' name, we glorify you and we magnify you and we look forward to what you'll say to us these next two nights. In the mighty name of Jesus, come on, put those hands together. Bless the Lord. Glory to God. We give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank
you, Lord. We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship or to contact Pastor Mark or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.